Thank you very much, and I greet each and every one of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who ever lives to make intercession for us, that we're going to learn about that in just a few moments. And it is a joy to be part of your weekend, your Bible conference, your extended Bible conference today. And back in Middletown, Connecticut, we host two Bible conferences every year, so I know a little bit about what it takes to host a conference and all the work that's behind the scenes. And I think we housed about 50 people in our homes at our last conference, and we appreciate all that you did the last couple days, the food, the beautiful decorations, and the wonderful special music, and all that went into the Bible conference. We thank God for the Salem Bible Church. I do. And I thank the Lord for your pastor, for the men that serve with him, for your good stand on the Word of God, your love for the Savior. Whenever I think of Salem Bible Church, I thank God not only for here, but for the Salem Bible Church in New England with Pastor Jim Delaney, that some of you know. I think he's been here. And we thank the Lord for both of those SBCs. And when we think of those churches, we feel a real kinship with you. And thank God for you. Our topic this morning is the sin of Peter. And I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 14. I'm going to work your fingers today. We're going to have to turn to a lot of different places, because this sin of Peter is described by all four gospel writers. And that's interesting. You know, the birth of Christ is only recorded by two of the gospel writers. But this sin, all four speak about it. So we're going to need to work our Bibles. Mark chapter 14. Let me catch up to you. And verse 27. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of your word of truth, for Jesus' sake, and with your Holy Spirit enabling us and teaching us, deal with the hearts of each and every person here today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, in Mark chapter 14, we're going to be learning about the Lord's amazing prediction concerning Peter's sin. Verse 27, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Now notice, all the disciples had a problem, not just Peter. All would be offended. It is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Look at verse 50. And they, how many? They all forsook Jesus that night and fled. Not just Peter, but all 11 of the disciples. They forsook Peter. Judas had already betrayed the other 11 disciples. Had their failures. Now, verse 29 of the same chapter. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Notice Peter's self-confidence. Not I, Lord. The others might. Others may fail you, but I won't. And we sometimes have that same problem. Lord, I would never do that. What should our attitude be toward the possibility of our sinning? and Brother Steve covered that very well in Sunday school. I need to realize that there's no sin that my rotten, depraved heart is not capable of. There but for the grace of God go I. And you remember in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, if any man think he is standing, let him take heed lest he fall. Peter thought he was standing, and he was about to fall, and great would be that fall. So this matter of being self-confident, very dangerous. Now there's the problem of no confidence. I can't do anything. And then there's the problem of self-confidence. I can do all things. But then there is Christ confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. Remember the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, we're to put no confidence in the flesh, but all of our confidence in Christ. Now in verse 30, we have this amazing prediction made by the Lord. Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. An amazing prediction. The Lord knew what would happen to Peter. But Peter denied it. Look in verse 31. But he spoke the more vehemently. More self-confidence on his part. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. And Peter wasn't the only one that had self-confidence. It says, likewise also said they all. They all echoed Peter's sentiment there. Look in verse 50. Let's see what happened to all of them. Well, we saw that before. They all forsook him, and they fled. So instead of saying, Lord, I'll never do that, why don't we say, even as we sang in the hymn, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any evil way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Chapter 22 of Luke. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 22. Comparing scripture with scripture as we try to understand the sin of Peter. Luke 22 and verse 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. This is the only time where Jesus calls him Peter. Apart from when he first gave him that name, it was the Lord who gave him that name, Peter or Petros. And here's his message. Now, he usually called him Simon and so forth, but here he calls him Peter. Peter, you are supposed to be a stone. That's what the word Peter means, Petros. You're supposed to be a stone, but you are going to act very weak. You're not going to live up to your name. And the reason you're going to fall and the reason you're going to fail is because you are going to fail to take your stand on the rock, on the Petra, the rock, Christ Jesus. And apart from him, Peter, you are just a weak pebble. Now let's think about the enormity of Peter's sin. Mark, let's go back to Mark, chapter 14. The enormity of his sin. Let's start in verse 66. Mark 14, 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. You were with that man, weren't you? But, verse 68, he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. He denied, and he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. This is one of the disciples. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. Now when you think of the word deny, just think of the word no. He denied. Weren't you with him? He denied. No, I wasn't with that man. And of course, the opposite of deny is the word confess. That's what he should have done. Were you with that man? The opposite of deny is confess. And instead of saying no, he should have said, Yes, I was with that man, and I'm proud of it. He's my Lord and Savior. Isn't that what we do when we confess our sins? We say, Yes. Yes, Lord, I agree with you. I have sinned. We don't want to deny it. He denied the Lord he loved. How serious that sin was. He was ashamed of his master. He claimed he didn't even know him. He was ashamed to be his disciple. And denied that he ever was. Now let's think about our Lord's three denials. First of all, as we mentioned, all four gospel writers record this event. Secondly, each gospel writer gives the same basic story, but each one contributes his own unique details. And to get a full picture of what happened, you have to study all four. Well, thirdly, the place. Where did it happen? It took place in the court of the high priest's residence. Well, how did Peter get in to that place? The key that he used to get through the door was the apostle John, who had connections with the high priest. We learn about that from reading the Gospel of John. So his fellow disciple, the apostle John, the disciple John, was the way that he was able to get in there that night. The time, what time did this take place? Well, it was somewhat in the middle of the night, even as it was getting toward morning. Roosters usually crow before dawn. At the same time that these denials were taking place, Jesus was not far away. He was being tried in a very unjust and very illegal way. His trials were taking place. There were actually six trials that our Lord went through on that night. First, he stood before Annas, who was the former high priest, but who was still very highly respected by the Jews. Then he stood before Caiaphas, who was the high priest at that time. And then he stood before the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling council of the Jews. Then he stood before Pilate, the Roman governor, the first time. Then he stood before Herod, that fox. And then he stood before Pilate the second time. Can you imagine what a night that was for the Lord to be led from one trial to another, all taking place illegally in the violation of all that was fair and just? And while that was happening, Peter was nearby. I want you to notice a very important detail in John chapter 18. Please turn. John chapter 18. And verse 18. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold that evening. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So keep this in mind. Peter was by a fire of coals. And that's the setting of where these denials took place. And that fact's going to be important later. Also remember that each denial got worse. The third was much worse than the first. The last was greater and stronger than the first. I don't even know Jesus. Look in Mark. Again, keep turning. Going to keep our fingers busy this morning. Mark chapter 14. And verse 71. Here it says, as the situation's getting worse and the denials are getting more serious, verse 71, he began to curse and to swear. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean he used filthy, foul language. Sometimes we think about swearing and cursing, we think of using four-letter words and filthy communication out of our mouth and so forth. But that's not the idea here. Peter began to curse and to swear. Now that means he was swearing, taking an oath. I swear by heaven that I'm telling the truth, that I don't know that man. So not only was he lying, but he was lying under oath. I swear by God. May God be my witness as I tell this terrible lie. It's one thing to lie, but it's another thing to lie under oath, swearing by God's name. Not only that, but it says he cursed. What does that mean? Well, apparently he called down curses on himself. May God do this and that to me if I'm not telling the truth. You see, his sin kept getting worse and worse. Not only did the denials keep getting worse and worse, but they kept getting more and more uneasy for Peter, more and more uncomfortable for him. In verse 70, notice what happened. There was a man that said, "Surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean, and your speech agreeth thereto." His speech betrayed him. They could tell by the way he talked that he was a Galilean. So that was getting a little uncomfortable. He was getting a little hot under the collar. You know, I'm thankful. Well, let me show you one other thing. John chapter 18. Here it gets really uncomfortable. Because there's someone there that recognizes him. You know, when you're in sin, you kind of hope that everyone around you doesn't know you at all. John chapter 18, verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did not I see you in the garden with him?" So here was a man who was a relative of Malchus, the man whose ear Peter had sliced off, and whose ear the Lord Jesus had miraculously healed after Peter did that. You see, this relative of Malchus was in the garden when that slicing off took place, and now he thinks he recognizes Peter, the guy that did the slicing. So this is getting very uncomfortable for Peter. Very hot under the collar. And I'm thankful that when we sin, God does not allow us to be comfortable in that sin as believers. God makes it a horrible experience, not a pleasurable one. You remember Lot when he was in Sodom, how vexed he was, how miserable that man was. He was a righteous man, but in the wrong place, and he was one miserable believer. And that's an evidence that he was a saved man. You also need to understand that these denials did not take place in rapid succession. When you read the accounts, they seem to happen one right after the other. But in Luke 22, we read that an hour elapsed at least between two of the denials. Luke 22:59. You also need to understand that the rooster crowed two times, not just once. Some of the gospel accounts make it seem like there was only one crowing of the rooster, but there were actually two. After the first denial, the rooster crowed. And after the third denial, the rooster crowed the second time, as we learn in Mark's account. But you also need to realize that when the rooster crowed the second time, something else remarkable happened. And only Luke tells us about this. So let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 60. Verse 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." His third denial. And immediately, while he yet spake, while he yet was denying, while the words were coming out of his mouth, the cock crew. Now look what happened right then. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." The timing of this is remarkable. If it had just involved the rooster, it would have been quite amazing. I mean, who gave the rooster his cue? Okay, rooster, he's about to deny the Lord for the third time. Okay, he's starting to say it. That's your cue. Who gave the rooster his cue? The Lord, the Creator, has complete control of the animal kingdom, and he had one rooster standing by, waiting patiently for the Creator to say, "Do it right now." However God communicated that to that creature. What an amazing miracle of timing. But the rooster is only half of this timing miracle. Remember, the Lord is going from trial to trial. He's a captive prisoner being led from one place to the other. They are leading him. He's not leading them. And yet, at the very moment the rooster crows, the Lord Jesus is in just the right position. where he's able to turn and look right at his sinning disciple. Amazing. God is sovereign over every circumstance of life, and God can make sure that the right person is in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. God's timing is flawless. He turned and looked at Peter. Now, it's interesting what else was going on right around this time. We read in Mark 14, 65 that the Lord Jesus was being buffeted. He was being treated as a punching bag. He was being struck in the face with the palm of their hands, either a strong slap or like a cuff, hit very hard with his palm. He was being spit upon. He was being abused, mistreated, and all those things. And yet, in the midst of all that, one of Jesus' major concerns was his wayward disciple. Quite amazing. He turned and looked at Peter. And what a look it must have been. It totally penetrated the heart of Peter. It was a piercing look. It resulted in a broken man. Because it says that Peter went out after that look and he wept bitterly. But the Bible says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." It was a deep sorrow that would lead to repentance. Remember when Peter was walking on the water, as soon as he began to sink, the Lord was right there to rescue him. In this passage, as soon as Peter denied the Lord three times, the Lord Jesus was right there, and his eyes met Peter's eyes, and he was right there. And dear believer, you need to remember that in your darkest hour of sin, the Lord Jesus is right there to rescue you. Now, there's a great difference between Peter's sin and the sin of Judas. There's a great difference between Peter's denial and Judas' betrayal. Judas really didn't love the Lord at all, but he acted as if he did. Peter, on the other hand, really did love the Lord. But during his denials, he acted as if he didn't. Peter's sorrow led to repentance. The sorrow of Judas led to his death, led to his suicide, but it never led him to turn himself to the Lord, to the Savior. What were the factors that led to Peter's sin? Well, let's keep in mind Peter's recent history. Did you know that just hours before he had been to church, speaking in our language? Of course, the church hadn't started yet. But as we would say it, he went to church. He attended the first ever communion service. He listened to the Lord Jesus give one of the greatest messages found in God's Word, the Upper Room Discourse found in John chapters 14 through 16. And we're told that he and the other disciples sang a hymn. So they had great preaching, they had a hymn, they had communion. Now, if you've just been to a worship service, had communion, heard a great message, sang a hymn, it doesn't seem like you would leave church and go out and sin right away, does it? Especially a sin of the magnitude we're talking about, denying that you even know Jesus Christ. So what were the factors that led to Peter's sin? We've already talked about his self-confidence. "Lord, I'll never do that." He relied too much upon Peter. And self-reliance will always let you down. Self is an unfailing failure. And whenever we rely on ourselves, we're in huge trouble. Whenever I try, I fail. Whenever I trust, he succeeds. Secondly, Peter failed to watch and pray. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And verse 32. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and very heavy. Verse 34. Well, let's go to verse 37. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Now, it's interesting. It says, he said to Peter. There were three of them, Peter, James, and John. But the Lord singles out Peter and says to him, Why couldn't you watch 1 hour? Verse 39, again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. But when he returned, he found them asleep again. Now, verse 41, he cometh, notice what it says, the third time. And now he says, okay, you're still sleeping, you're not praying, sleep on, get some rest. Now, isn't that interesting? Peter failed to watch and pray on three occasions. And on three occasions, he was going to deny his Lord. And how many times do we fail and fall into sin simply because we did not spend time with the Lord in prayer? The battle against sin begins on our knees. Submit yourself to God, and he, the devil, will flee from you. Now, you're in Mark. Look in chapter 14, verse 54. Another factor that led to Peter's sin. It says, And Peter followed Jesus afar off. That means he followed him at a distance. Peter did not stay close to the Lord. Now, to be fair to Peter, I'm not sure he could have gotten any closer on this occasion. He was in the courtyard of the residence of the high priest. The Lord Jesus was close by, so close that at one point he could look at Peter and their eyes met. But I don't think Peter could have barged into the trials. He was probably as close to the Lord as physically he could possibly get. But I think you would agree with me that spiritually, Peter was afar off. He was at a distance. And spiritually, at this point of time in his life, he was not close to the Lord. You know, there would come a time later when Peter would be so close to the Lord that the unsaved would marvel at this ignorant and unlearned fisherman, and they would take knowledge that he had been with Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. But that would come later. Another factor that led to this sin, Peter was overwhelmed by his circumstances. Peter was absolutely crushed under the weight of what he considered to be unfavorable circumstances. Everything seemed to be going wrong. His Lord and Master had been arrested and was being condemned to death. His whole world seemed to be falling apart. And there's a lesson here for us. When everything seems to be going wrong in our lives, that's when we need to trust God. When our whole world seems to be falling apart, as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. The psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And actually, everything that was happening to Peter was happening for his good and for his salvation. His Lord was about to go to the cross to make everything right. But Peter didn't understand that. And the fifth and final factor as to why Peter sinned was he sat among the Lord's enemies. Look in Mark 14, verse 54. And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. He was, if you get with the wrong crowd, you're going to end up doing the wrong things. The psalmist said, I am a companion of all those who fear thee, God, and keep thy commandments. We need to be very careful who our closest friends are, those that we're united to. Now, Peter's recovery. Well, as we saw, he shed bitter tears. He went out and wept bitterly. And that was part of his recovery. The unsaved person can sin and enjoy it. The saved person can sin, but he hates it, as Steve shared with us in Sunday school. Paul said in Romans 7, what I want to do, I do not, but what I hate, that I do. Romans 7:15. Secondly, the intercession of his Savior. Please look in Luke chapter 22. And verse 31. What a precious verse this is. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The Lord said this to Peter before these denials took place. But, Peter, I have prayed for you, verse 32. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. That thy faith fail not. Now, what does this mean? Didn't Peter's faith fail? Was the Lord's prayer not answered? Well, obviously, Peter had a lapse of faith, a very serious lapse of faith. But the idea is this. Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith will not totally fail. Peter's sin did not lead to a fall from which he could never recover. It was a serious fall, but not a fatal fall. He fell down hard on the ship of faith, but he did not fall overboard. He fell down on the deck, but he did not fall overboard. He failed, but he did not utterly fail. His faith was eclipsed. But it was not a total eclipse. He did not fall like Judas did. There was no recovery there at all. He fell, but he recovered. You remember that verse, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Psalm 37, 23. And 24. Peter, I pray for you that your faith will not fail, that you will not be utterly cast down. And in Proverbs 24, 16, it says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. There's recovery, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Peter's fall was great. His sin was serious, but he recovered. Verse 32, the Lord predicts his recovery. And when thou art converted, you know, did you know sometimes saved people need to be converted? They need to turn. They're going the wrong direction. They need to turn back to the right direction. And Peter did that. I have prayed for thee, Peter, the Lord said. Is Peter the only one that enjoys that kind of intercession? Does the Lord Jesus pray for you, dear believer, that your faith will not fail? My friends, he ever liveth to make intercession for his own, for you and for me. And if you want to read what he prays for you, read John chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer, I call it, but the Lord's intercessory prayer. Now, what would have happened if the Lord had not prayed for Peter? Where would we be apart from the intercession of Christ on our behalf? How thankful we should be for that. Now, Peter's recovery was not complete until after the resurrection of Christ, at which time the Lord had to deal with him again in a very special way. Look in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come. Now it's interesting, Jesus appears to these disciples early in the morning. And remember, the denials took place early in the morning. Verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. Does that ring a bell? Remember when Peter was sitting by the fire? And fish laid on and bread. This fire was prepared by Jesus himself. And I don't think the only reason the Lord prepared this fire was to cook the fish. There was another reason. Because the last time Peter was sitting around a fire, he denied his Lord three times. So we're getting the right situation set up here. Verse 15, a passage you're familiar with, and when after they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He said, Yes, Lord. Remember what we said about denial is the word no? Confession is the word yes. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Jesus said, Peter, when you're converted, you will strengthen the brethren. Verse 16, he said to him again, the second time, Simon, do you love me? He said, Yes, Lord. He confessed, he did. Feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, verse 17, Simon, do you love me? Now look, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Lovest thou me? It's almost like he heard the rooster one more time. Peter had denied his Lord three times, but the Lord gave him a wonderful opportunity to confess his love for Christ three times. Feed my sheep. Was Peter a Christ denier? Well, the answer is yes and no. If you were to take a snapshot of Peter on that night, you could take three pictures, snap, 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 of three denials, and you look at those pictures and say, yes, he was a denier of Christ. But if you were to take a video of Peter's life, you would come to a totally different conclusion. You would see a man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. You would see a man who, not long after this, confessed Christ boldly to thousands of people on the day of Pentecost. He said, "This man is both Lord and Christ." And he boldly preached Christ to thousands not too long after this. The video of Peter's life shows a man who boldly confessed Jesus Christ as his Savior. And you know, in John chapter 17 and verse 6, when Jesus was talking about his disciples, he makes an amazing statement. He says, "They have kept my word." Now, when you think about Peter, you say, wait a minute, Lord. He didn't keep your word. He denied you. He denied that he even knew you at one point in his life. But the Lord was saying, listen, I'm not looking at three snapshots. I'm looking at the video of Peter's life. And there was a man who kept my word. He obeyed me. He loved me. And he confessed me before men. And someday, my Heavenly Father is going to confess him before the angels of God. Jesus said, I will confess him before the Father. Thank God for recovery, for Christ's intercession, for God's mercy when we fail and when we fall. Thank you, Lord, for all that we can learn through the life of your servant Peter, through his failures and his amazing denials. Lord, we think about even our own lives when we have in certain ways denied you and not gladly confessed you before men. Lord, help us never to be ashamed of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. May we be proud of our Savior. May we be glad to speak of him to others and never be ashamed of his gospel and of him. So, Lord, work in our hearts and thank you for your gracious working in the lives of your children when they fail and fall, that there is recovery, there's wonderful forgiveness and complete recovery because of your mercy and grace. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.